For Romer and the Obama administration to get that rate down, they're going to have to do something about the nation's youngest workers. With summer just around the corner, American teenagers now find themselves largely shut out of the labor force. As a result of the recession, the unemployment rate among teens is the highest it's been since the government started collecting data in the 1940s. And NPR's Yuki Noguchi reports that today's high unemployment could have lasting effects on these young would-be workers.
It's an unseasonably cold April morning, and right behind the Capitol, there are about three dozen young people protesting what they say is a need for jobs. They're holding buckets and demanding a bailout of their own.
They are having such a terrible time in this market.
Deborah Shore founded the Sasha Bruce Youth Work Project in Washington. She says Congress should spend a fraction of the money it spent bailing out banks to help young people get jobs this summer.
What would you estimate the unemployment rate among the teens that you work with to be right now?
75%.
And that is about right nationally. If you add those who are looking for work but can't find a job, plus those who are sitting out the recession and not even looking, only a quarter of employable teenagers are actually working. Shore says young people are simply falling further behind.
They are competing with people who have experience, and they simply don't have it. It's the worst unemployment for teens ever.
It's the starkest example of how difficult it may be to right the impact of the loss of jobs during the recession. That's particularly true for African American teens who face an unemployment rate of 41%. Monet Livingston has two children and relies on welfare. The 19-year-old says it's never been easy for someone like her to find a job, and now it feels impossible.
I've been looking for a job since I turned 16.
And have you found one yet?
No, I have never been hired, ever.
It's devastating. It's a crisis.
Algernon Austin studies race and ethnicity at the Economic Policy Institute.
Basically, people's careers stall before they actually start. And the research shows that this has a long-term sort of negative impact on their lifetime earnings.
Unemployment and poverty reached historic lows in the black community in the 1990s. But Austin says now the nation's jobless problem is effectively reversing that economic progress. And because joblessness, homelessness, and poor schooling go hand in hand, today's problems could drag down the next generation.
The basic story is that young people are going to be at the end of the queue, and particularly African-American young people.
That is Dean Baker, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research. He says youth unemployment will remain an issue long after businesses start hiring in large numbers again, because teens are typically one of the last groups to be hired.
People find ways to fill their time, and if they can't work, probably most of the ways they're going to end up filling their time are not good ways. And it's hardly a secret. We have 2 million people behind bars in this country. It's, you know, there are alternatives for people, and I don't think we want to see them go that way.
Baker says publicly funded work projects and job training programs are the best and only form of immediate relief. And there is at least one proposal in the U.S. House for an $8 billion youth jobs and training program. Congressional staffers are also working on similar measures to include youth employment funding as part of broader jobs bills. But with school almost out, the issue for teens now is not only whether there will be funding for programs, but also whether they will arrive in time for summer break. Yuki Noguchi, NPR News, Washington.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. The biggest growth in jobs in 3 years, that's the word from the Labor Department today. The economy added 162,000 jobs last month, a very good number. But there are also plenty of bad numbers in the report. More than half the jobs added are temporary. And the unemployment rate, 9.7%, didn't budge. NPR's Frank Langfitt has the story.
The first Friday of each month is usually a downer for economists and the unemployed alike. It's the day the Labor Department delivers its job estimates for the month before. And for the past 2 years, the news has been mostly bad. Today was different.
Well, I think it's a pretty good report.
Very positive. I think that it's a good sign that the recovery does have legs.
This is the best news we've seen of the recession.
That's Scott Brown, chief economist with Raymond James, the financial services firm. John Sylvia, chief economist with Wells Fargo, and Heidi Shierholz with the Economic Policy Institute. Sylvia says one of the best things about today's report employment increases didn't come from just one place.
I was very happy in terms of the total job gains. I was very happy in terms of the distribution of job gains. Manufacturing is out of jobs for the last 3 months in a row. And some of the discretionary areas, such as retail trade and leisure and hospitality, were adding jobs as well. So, yes, the labor market clearly has turned. The economy is clearly improving.
That said, the job gains weren't quite as good as they appeared. 48,000 of them were temporary hires by the government for the census. And others were hires that would have occurred in February, if not for the blizzards in the Northeast. And Sylvia pointed out something very worrisome in today's report.
The dark side, of course, is if you're unemployed, you're unemployed for a long time.
We've never seen anything like this.
That's Heidi Shierholz again. She's talking about this figure. 6.5 million people have been out of work for more than 6 months. The country hasn't seen numbers like that since the end of World War II. Shierholz says this is one of the recession's most painful legacies.
Long-term unemployment is absolutely devastating to families. It uses up savings entirely, and it can also decrease the marketability of workers.
In other words, the longer you're out of work, the more likely you are to end up with a worse job later with lower pay. So, if jobs are growing again, why are so many people still unemployed? And there's a basic, brutal math. The recession destroyed more than 8 million jobs. Companies are beginning to hire. But Shierholz says the increase is
nowhere near the level of growth we need to start bringing down unemployment.
Which is one reason the unemployment rate is still stuck at 9.7%. Last month, the labor force, including those looking for jobs, grew by nearly 400,000, but there weren't anywhere near enough new jobs to absorb those people. Frank Langfitt, NPR News, Washington.
From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris.
And I'm Robert Siegel. And now more on today's jobs report. The Labor Department reported this morning that the economy added 162,000 jobs in March. That includes 48,000 temporary census jobs, and it's the biggest monthly jobs gain in almost 3 years. On the other hand, the unemployment rate is still 9.7%, as it was last month and the month before. Joining us to talk about these numbers is Christina Romer, who chairs the White House Council of Economic Advisors. Welcome back to the program, Dr. Romer.
It's great to be with you.
And first, why is the unemployment rate stuck at 9.7%?
Well, I think, you know, the first thing to say is that is something we need to acknowledge, because 9.7% is a terrible number, and there are millions of people who are unemployed, so that is something that's going to be a tremendous concern. When you dive into the numbers a little bit, you find that it's more complicated, because one of the things that's been happening over the last 3 months is the labor force has been growing tremendously. So just in March alone, it went up some 400,000. So actually, this is a very common pattern that as the economy starts to recover, some of the workers that have been discouraged come back in. Often that causes the unemployment rate to tick up. And the fact that it hasn't ticked up is, at least in the household survey, employment has also been growing pretty strongly.
So more job seekers would depress the unemployment rate, even if more jobs are being created for them.
Exactly.
One explanation I've read for slow job growth this year is higher productivity. That is, those of us who have jobs, it said, are working so much more that there's less need for new workers. Are we working too hard for our own good?
Well, we certainly have seen huge productivity gains. I think if you look at the numbers, in the last three quarters, productivity growth has averaged something like 7.4%, which is probably the biggest three-quarter gain in a very, very long time. We see this often in recovery, so the first thing that goes up is productivity. We don't anticipate that continuing. I think we can't keep getting that much more productive.
We're reaching our limits, you think, for productivity. Do you expect to see a continued modest monthly gains in jobs like the March numbers, or do you think the economy is now turning a corner and in April, May, or June we'd start seeing robust growth in jobs?
The best way to kind of gauge this is kind of look where we've been. In the first quarter of last year, we were losing on average 753,000 jobs per month. In the first quarter of 2010, we've added on average 54,000 jobs per month. That is an unbelievable change in trajectory. What I'd anticipate is that number will start, you know, getting bigger. Just as the job losses have gotten smaller, the job gains will get bigger. You know, I think what the president's concerned about is how do we make that as big as possible? And that's why he has been emphasizing more targeted actions. We signed the HIRE Act a couple of weeks ago, but there are lots more things pending in Congress, and they need to make it to his desk.
If we are on track for a recovery, how do you think the labor market in the recovered economy will resemble the status quo ante before the recession? And in what ways will this be a different economy and a different labor market?
Unquestionably, we're going to see some changes in the composition of jobs. You know, one of the things that probably was reflecting of how we were going wrong before the crisis was the tremendous increase in employment in the financial services sector. And that has certainly shrunk over the crisis and the recession. And I wouldn't anticipate it going back to the kind of levels that we saw before. We do know that just because of demographic changes, health and education are going to be something that will be growing, especially healthcare employment. And that's a trend that we have seen even through the recession. And I anticipate seeing that. You know, the one I'm really going to be looking at is manufacturing, because that has taken a hit in every recession and often never quite come back. And I think one of the things the president really wants is, can we, with the emphasis on clean energy and those kind of things, bring that sector back?
The Labor Department has a measure of underemployment, which is they add people who've stopped looking for full-time work and taken part-time jobs or stopped looking altogether. And that's up, actually, in March from 16.8% to 16.9%. It's more than one American in six who seems to be really dissatisfied in the job market.
There's no way around the fact this has been a horrible recession. And it has taken, you know, as horrible as it's been on, you know, so many dimensions, it's the labor market where it has been the most devastating. And so those numbers really reflect that. And I think they're part of why I know I and the president and, you know, everyone says, dealing with this, getting people back to work's got to be the top priority.
I think there's a realistic prospect of the unemployment rate being down in the eights come November.
You know, our forecast is for the unemployment rate to stay pretty high through this year. I mean, just a fact you need to know, you need employment to grow by about 100,000 just to keep up with labor force growth and just to keep the unemployment rate constant. So, you know, I'll give you a number. In the first quarter of this year, we've averaged 54,000. So, you know, we anticipate our forecast has it be about 100,000 per month for most of this year. That kind of keeps the unemployment rate where it is. So, that's why I keep emphasizing we need faster growth to really get that rate down.
Dr. Romer, thank you very much for talking with us.
It's great to be with
Christina Romer, who is chair of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. President Obama sounded cautiously optimistic today after the best monthly jobs report in 3 years. According to the Labor Department, the U.S. economy added 162,000 jobs in March, the first six-figure gain since the beginning of the recession. Economists were forecasting an even bigger number, though, and the president told workers in Charlotte, North Carolina, there's still a long way to go to recover the 8 million-plus jobs that have been lost. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
For President Obama, today's jobs report is a welcome change of direction.
We learned that the economy actually produced a substantial number of jobs instead of losing a substantial number of jobs. We are beginning to turn the corner.
The president spoke after touring a factory in Charlotte, North Carolina, that makes parts for advanced batteries used in electric cars and elsewhere. The CellGuard company is expanding and hiring an extra 300 workers with help from the federal government's stimulus program. Mr. Obama says the rebound in jobs nationwide is a sign his economic policies are working.
The tough measures that we took, measures that were necessary even though sometimes they were unpopular, have broken this slide and are helping us to climb out of this recession.
The Labor Department also revised upwards today its jobs numbers for January and February, showing on average the economy added 54,000 jobs in each of the first 3 months of the year. That's a big improvement from the first quarter of last year when Mr. Obama took office and the economy was losing 750,000 jobs a month. But the recovery is still painfully slow. The additional hiring in March didn't budge the unemployment rate, which stands at 9.7% nationwide. Here in Charlotte, the jobless rate is pushing 13%, and economists aren't predicting a big drop anytime soon.
Economic statistics don't do justice to the pain and anxiety that results from unemployment. Lasting unemployment takes a toll on families, takes a toll on marriages, takes a toll on children.
It's also taking a toll on the president's political standing and that of congressional Democrats. Republican Congressman Eric Cantor of Virginia said today it's time to change course and stop what he called the excessive spending in Washington, though even Cantor had to admit a monthly report showing job gains is an improvement from the job losses we've been seeing. Mr. Obama resisted Cantor's call to return to what he described as the failed economic policies of the past. He noted that many middle-class families were struggling even before the latest crisis and warned building a more stable economy won't happen overnight.
While we've come a long way, we've still got a ways to go. We shouldn't underestimate the difficulties we face as a country or the hardships that confront millions of our fellow citizens, some of your friends, some of your neighbors, some of your relatives. You know, are still going through a tough time.
Some of the workers in the audience seem skeptical of the president's policies, even though their employer has directly benefited from the economic stimulus program. Celgard's expansion is expected to add up to 1,000 jobs for suppliers around the country. One of them, Matt Litzler, wanted to know if Mr. Obama would lead by example.
The limousines that you drive, electric with Celgard membranes in them sometime soon?
You know, the answer, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with him.
The president said his armored limousine is too heavy for today's electric car batteries. But this week, he did announce a doubling of the federal government's hybrid fleet. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Charlotte, North Carolina.